This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker Spine and Orthopedic Podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Dr. Scott Russo, an orthopedic surgeon at Orthopedic Associates of Michigan. Dr. Russo, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Laura, thank you very much for the invitation. I appreciate the opportunity to share my thoughts.
Before we dive into the questions, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Sure. Yeah, I'm a native of Detroit, Michigan, now living in Grand Rapids for almost 40 years. And I went to Michigan State undergrad and Wayne State Medical School in Detroit. And I was fortunate to do my residency in Grand Rapids at what's now the Spectrum Michigan State University Orthopedic Residency Program. After my 5 years in Grand Rapids, I left for a year to go study under Dr. Shannon Stauffer and his team at Southern Illinois University. That's where I did my spine surgery fellowship. And then I was recruited to come back to Grand Rapids. And so I've been blessed to be in Grand Rapids. This is my 31st year. Initially starting with a small group, after 2 years, I went out on my own, started the Spine Center West Michigan, which was a multidisciplinary group. We had medicine on one side, all the subspecialties that were important for musculoskeletal and spine care transitioning. And then we also had rehab on the other side. So a full service rehab department. So truly multidisciplinary. And that was in 1992. And we ultimately went and merged with another group and became orthopedic and spine specialists. For economies of scale. And then ultimately, we became part of what is now Orthopedic Associates of Michigan, which is one of the largest independent freestanding musculoskeletal groups that has both orthopedic surgeons, plastic surgeons, physical medicine rehab doctors, and a whole host of other supportive people. We have excellent mid-level advanced practice providers, so we're very fortunate in that respect. And my practice is primarily, it's really only spine surgery. I have a subspecialty interest in adult, and I do some pediatric deformity, really enjoy that, and then take care of trauma at a level one trauma center. It's very, very busy, and then I make up the rest of it with degenerative type of cases and things of that nature.
Fascinating. So you've had quite an experience and career in orthopedics and spine, it sounds like, especially, you know, having grown your practice, starting off with a small group and then getting into increasingly larger and I'm sure more complex organizations. Now, especially considering this past year with COVID-19 and everything that happened, what are some of the top trends you're following in healthcare today?
Well, I think there's three areas of that right now I think stand out. And one is the value-based care model, you know, achieving more and better care for less cost. And in association with that is prehabilitation, so pre-surgical optimization, again, improving the outcomes. And then I think we're moving into this artificial intelligence, machine learning. So the idea of operating on the right patient at the right time and doing the right or appropriate procedure. And the ability to know down to a granular state on who is the correct patient and what is the correct procedure for them is very, very exciting. So I think those are three very unique trends. And I sit on the board of a clinically integrated network in Grand Rapids, and it's just grown explosively. And we're a group of independent practitioners who have come together, not at the exclusion of hospitals, but at the opportunity to have a deeper voice in how we care for our patients, and to keep costs down for our patients and ideally for the insurers and then for the companies in our community. So I think that the idea of value-based care and how independents lead in that space is a very unique situation right now. And when I talk about value-based care, I'm talking about not just only on the benefit of the patients, but also for the benefit of the practitioners. We have to keep practitioners healthy. We have to keep them fiscally whole. And by doing that, then they're going to deliver better care to their patients. And we know that the challenges through COVID, we know that with technology and, you know, EHRs and things of that nature, it really stresses out the practitioners. And so what we're trying to do is everything in our power to improve the quality of life for the practitioners and enhance the care given to their patients. So that's value-based care. Prehabilitation is something I'm very passionate about. And it's one of those things. I don't know. Have you had anybody talk about that on your podcast to date?
You know, I don't think we've gone extensively into prehabilitation. I know it's something on the Becker's orthopedic and spine review websites we've talked about to some degree, but on the podcast, we haven't really had a discussion about that. So, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts. I think it'd be interesting as well for us to talk a little bit about that too.
Yeah, so pre-surgical optimization kind of encompasses the medical aspects of it, but then also the individual patient aspect. So whether you're getting your patient to cease using tobacco, to stop drinking, to get their diabetes under control, those are the keys for medical optimization. And then you have pre-surgical optimization. That's something that I've been doing my entire career. How I use my rehab is not only just to address a specific physical ailment, but I also use rehab to educate the patients and their families on how to optimize their health through fitness. So the therapists are very well trained in encouraging fitness. So prehabilitation is one aspect of it is physical conditioning, or, you know, optimizing their physical state to tolerate surgery. The second aspect that is pulmonary conditioning. So I kind of link the physical conditioning, muscle strengthening, cardiovascular strengthening, and pulmonary strengthening as one. The second aspect of it is nutrition. So nutrition can be looked at as how the patient feeds themselves. So how are they fueling their body or overfueling their body? And if they are obese, in which 70% of our society is either overweight, obese, or super obese, then we have programs in place to optimize and to help them lose weight in a controlled fashion. So pre-surgical weight loss, not to debilitate the patient, but to make them physiologically better to tolerate surgery along the lines of a ketogenic or Mediterranean diet. So that's one aspect. The second aspect is how a patient supplements themselves nutritionally. Are they getting the right vitamin D? Are they getting the right probiotic, prebiotic combination for gut health and immune health? And all those other things about that, a multivitamin, multimineral, phytonutrient, things like that will make people healthier going into a major spine operation or into a total joint procedure or something of that nature. So I put together a whole program focused on that. And then the final component is the mental conditioning, the pre-surgical mental optimization of the patient. And I see that where my patients, all of them get a monograph that I wrote, Preparing the Mind for Healing. And it's based on setting an intention for their care. And in that intention, they assume responsibility for their care, right? I encourage them to assume full responsibility for their care. The second piece of it is mindfulness or breath control. So use breath to control their mind, control their physiologic response to pain. So they prepare for this before they undergo surgery. And then the third aspect is attention control, where they put their attention. Do they go negative, or are there ways that they can stay positive so they get through in a seamless fashion their post-surgical recovery? And then we use visualization, seeing themselves getting healthy, seeing themselves as vibrant and healthy and recovering quickly in a powerful manner. And then the final thing is goal setting. In the monograph and to my patients, I talk to them about how to set goals. What's the goal that they have to do the day they leave my office in anticipation of going to surgery? How do they have to fuel their body? How do they have to rest? What do they have to do and working with their family physician or their internist to get themselves prepared. In the physical part of it, I have a mini thing. We try to get some moderate exercise started, try to have the patient log in and pay attention to that using apps like Health Track or MyFitnessPro, things of that nature. So from a prehab standpoint, I think it's a real opportunity going forward. And then finally, artificial intelligence. I have very little expertise in it, but I am fascinated with which some of the companies are directing their energies now, being able to have all these hundreds and soon to be probably thousands of data points on identifying what's the right procedure for this patient from an anatomic standpoint, a physiologic standpoint. And that way, I think, will ultimately help keep costs down in carrying that out. So those are the three top trends and the ways in which I'm looking at things these days.
Dr. Russo, that is a very comprehensive look at, you know, some of the big things, and especially, as you mentioned, kind of starting off with value-based care and then looking at these different ways that you're already practicing that and being able to bring the patient in and having them have responsibility for their care. And I'm particularly interested, obviously, in the prehabilitation. You spelled that out really well. And then the mental conditioning aspect of it, too. From a program building standpoint, what was it like to build a program like that, you know, outside of what I think most surgeons typically are putting together for their patients? And then secondly, how well received is it by patients?
Well, you know, it's very, very interesting. So about almost 4 years ago now, I decided I wanted to take up a hobby. So I went and got certified as a life coach. And I think that was a catalyst. as I went through this life coaching process and learning how to coach people in difficult and challenging situations in their life, I started to realize that this was integral to the care of patients. And so taking that and the basics of what I learned, and now starting to advance that conversation with my patients, and it takes extra time. I mean, it's by no stretch of the imagination is it a moneymaker, but I really think it allows me to engage my patients in a positive way. And it's not like it couldn't be done by somebody in the office. It's just something that I'm passionate about. So I do it on my own in the care of my patients. So I really think that it's a big opportunity going forward is how we mentally prepare our patients and condition our patients, because if they are mentally tough, if they are focused, then after the surgical procedure, they will engage in their recovery process on a level never before seen when they're all in.
That's a really great point. And, you know, such a important aspect, of, as you said, to be able to add to their care. So I'm so interested to hear you say that. Now, I'm wondering, too, you know, if we could talk about some of the devices and technology that you're seeing on the cutting edge right now. What do you think is most promising out there for spine? And, you know, what is, I guess, less proven or could be just all hype?
Yeah, so for me, and I really... I'm finding that robotics and navigation, and as I think the next step in the future for being able to carry out precision surgical procedures. And I think, you know, it takes some of the guesswork out, and there are so many talented surgeons that for so many years have done, you know, pedicle screws freehand with their eyes closed. You know, it's like a sixth sense. They know where to put it. But for the rest of the people who are average human beings, robotics and navigation kind of levels the playing field. And I think that's a good thing for patient care. It also is associated with surgical planning. So it's very unique. The surgical planning software and SurgeonMap was one of the first ones, just outstanding the way they've evolved that. So I think surgical planning combined with navigation, robotics, and then artificial intelligence and machine learning is going to really take, I think, spine surgery by storm in the future. And I think sometimes we shouldn't lose track of simple things, right, in device. So we rely a lot on this fancy technology, but I think in reality, we should also continue to hone our skills about preparing an excellent fusion bed, handling the soft tissues very carefully. You know, those techniques that are the foundation of spine surgery. So I think not only device is important, but I think you have to still maintain your skills at the other aspects of spine care. In terms of hype, you know, I'm not a big direct lateral guy, and I think it's probably more just from experience. And I've attended the courses and I've listened to the experts, and they do amazing things. And I think from my perspective, I still am able to do everything, you know, or not everything, but a lot of the surgical procedures I do can be handled with an all posterior approach, but I'm still keeping my eyes open and listening to those experts who do the direct laterals or the oblique procedures and that, learning from them. So I think there's still opportunity.
Got it. That makes a ton of sense. And so interesting to hear about kind of the evolution of the robotics and technology, like you said, just everything coming into place and really, you know, making a difference for spine surgeons finally in the field. Before we wrap up our conversation, what are you most excited about today and what makes you nervous?
I am excited about people paying attention to the cost of healthcare and in ways figuring out methods. And I think this is where precision medicine is going to come in. Ways in which to keep healthcare down. If we can prevent infection through appropriate nutrition and pre-surgical optimization, that's a big win for our societies. So I think starting people to start focusing away from illness management, even though that's what we do with spine surgery, but going to the next level where we're focusing on putting the care back into health, right? It's about health, keeping people healthy or optimizing their health before they have a major surgical procedure. I think that's a theme that I've and following and paying attention to. And I think the thing that makes me most nervous is the loss of the independence. There is just this tendency towards consolidation, big groups, hospital groups, and things of that nature. And I think it's always good to have a balance in healthcare. So I think making sure that independents stay healthy, the independent practitioners. So primary care has a big, powerful focus going forward and keeping that fiscally healthy, emotionally healthy, so that they can continue to deliver high quality care in the grassroots of our society.
Dr. Russo, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. This has been a really fantastic discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Laura, I truly appreciate the opportunity to be here with you. It's always a pleasure, and I look forward to the next time we connect. Have a great rest of the day.